I don't think I have ever met anyone with a heart quite as big as Carter's.
Whether you need someone to speak life into you,
a shoulder to cry on after a long day,
help with your microeconomics class,
a hug and supportive words before a big event,
we know we can always count on Carter.
He is a lover of all things sweet tea, Raising Cane's, and cattle,
as well as sarcasm, travel, homemade applesauce, and of course, making sure we all know how much he loves his job.
We are so proud to call him ours and so grateful we got to share him with you.
National FFA, it is our honor to introduce to you my big brother,
my best friend,
and your Southern Region Vice President, Carter Howell.
I'll take it in, but don't look down.
'Cause I'm on top of the world.
It's March in Brookings, South Dakota. Instead of soaking in my first state convention in the California sun during what is supposed to be the best 3 months of my life, I'm lying in bed. This bed I'm lying in has a few bells and whistles, though. It's almost like one of those new Tempur-Pedic mattresses that can do just about anything. My bed has a call button, a TV remote, controls to go up and down, and even has a massage feature. Naturally, you feel quite like royalty when you have a call button to request ice cream and popsicles. If you can't tell, I may have requested one too many desserts this past March. See, the only problem with this bed is the location that it's in. It's not in some resort with nice snacks, and it isn't at home. This bed is in a hospital room on the second floor of the Brookings Health System. And for the first time in my life, I'm not visiting the hospital, but I'm an admitted patient there. This wasn't my first time at a hospital, though. Many of the major events in my life have taken place in a hospital. Another distinct time I can remember is all the way back in my peewee days. The energy around this time at the hospital is a lot more positive for everyone besides me. It's springtime again at the hospital, but this time I'm in hot, sunny, and oh so humid Tampa, Florida. As a proud new graduate from preschool, I'm looking forward to a summer of celebration and peace and looking forward to continuing my athletic an academic career at the elementary school of my choice. All my wildest hopes and dreams, however, would come crashing down on that most fateful of days, May 15th, 2006, a day that will forever live in infamy in my mind. My entire family is gathered around, eagerly awaiting some news. And I am talking about the whole family. Even Uncle Randy is there. And you know exactly what I mean by Uncle Randy. Everybody has an Uncle Randy. The doctor comes out and delivers the news. My family around me meets this news with tears of joy, a sense of jubilee, and celebration. I hear that same news and meet it with tears of anger, a sense of sadness, and distress. As my dad asks me to pose for a picture with my new baby sister, I do my best to put on a face of pure sadness. My proud granny puts on a bright smile, though. Here I am at 4 years old in a moment and a day that is filled with pure joy, love, and happiness for everyone around me. But I am filled with emotions that I didn't have the words to describe yet. Situations like these have been a common theme in my life. Whether it was the day my sister was born, getting elected to state or national office, or anything in between, my emotions just never seemed to be normal or what you would expect. I should have felt love, joy, and excitement when my younger sister, Gabby, who I am so proud of today, came into this world. I just couldn't seem to be happy, no matter how hard I tried. You might think this has been just a one-off experience for me, but it's not. It's just the earliest memory I have where the emotions I was having didn't quite align with the situation around me. I can remember my parents trying to get me to be excited and full of love for these big moments. I can hear it clear as day, something my mom frequently said. Carter, you have to see the good. I mean, how easy does that sound? How hard can it be to see the good in situations like everyone else around me did? I tried hard to see the good. I tried hard to have a positive mindset. I tried hard to see the glass half full instead of half empty. But I always fell short. In those moments that are filled with love and joy around me, the good isn't what I see first. I see the bad and I see the ugly. For the longest time, I thought I was alone in these feelings. Have any of us ever had these same emotions? To be honest, I think none of us are alone in these feelings. In our country and in our world today, for the most part, we tend to see the bad first, things that make us different first, things we disagree on first. We as people are facing an epidemic in which we only see the bad qualities in situations, people, and events. We have lost our ability to talk to each other civilly, hear each other out, and be willing to make concessions that we aren't always right and others aren't always wrong. Just because we might not agree on every topic or problem does not mean that we can't see the good in each other. If we can lead with love and choose to see the good in others, we will be able to see that the world is not always so black and white. If we can see others for more than just their political preferences, their values, or beliefs, and instead see them for themselves, then we can collaborate to make a needed change. Seeing the good in the world can start with clicking on and sharing positive news instead of negative news. It could be choosing to engage in conversation with someone who thinks different than you and seeking to understand rather than seeking to validate your views. You might be thinking, these examples aren't relevant to me. But we aren't insulated from these challenges in our own organization either. In my travels this year, I've had multiple experiences where FFA members I met didn't feel they had the freedom to be who they were for fear of judgment, for fear of an argument, or for fear of feeling out of place. We have to do better. How can you help foster an environment where conversation is encouraged, disagreement leads to better decisions, and people first? Now, I've come to realize that it isn't all bad, even from the worst day of my young life. There's been some good things. Someone to lean on, to pick on, and someone to do my math homework has been pretty nice. Now let's go back to this hospital bed in Brookings, South Dakota, the one that has all the sweet features. As I'm lying in this bed, considering pressing the call button for another sweet treat, the doctor who is treating me walks in. I'm expecting an update at this point after my diagnosis with pancreatitis, so I immediately shoot up in bed, wondering what update I might get from the doctor. The doctor greets me and walks in and says, "Hey, I don't have any updates for you yet. I just wanted to check in on you. How are you doing?" Seriously, you came in here just to chit-chat? Of course, you don't get an attitude with the person who's taking care of you, so I don't say any of that. Instead, I quickly fire back with my usual response whenever someone asks how I am doing. "I'm pretty good. How are you?" Conversation quickly faded, and my doctor made his way back out into the hallway to meet with other patients. But I couldn't get over that question that he just asked. I was alone with my thoughts and in the most vulnerable state of my life. How are you doing? It's a question that I've been asked probably thousands of times in my life. Until that point, I never really had to consider it though, because I had all of my time occupied. In high school, I occupied all of my time with FFA and livestock projects. I continued to stay busy as a state officer, and when I moved away to college, I threw myself into every activity that I could and filled my calendar to avoid being honest with myself. I didn't have to do an honest assessment of how is Carter doing when I was busy and distracted. While I was sitting in that hospital bed in Brookings, South Dakota, I gave it some real thought for the first time. How was I doing? I was supposed to be starting the most exciting chapter of my year as a national officer. I was gearing up to travel across the country to meet FFA members, hear their stories, and be inspired by them. Instead, I am stuck lying in this bed with no concrete diagnosis, no real course of action, and no idea when I would be able to leave the hospital and get back to doing the things I was elected to do and love to do. When I really stopped to consider it, I had an answer that I didn't necessarily like. I wasn't doing okay. And for the first time in my life, I felt like I was truly alone, absolutely hope. There's an age-old story that many of us can probably relate to today. It's the tale who sat in a local waiting for his lunch. His face was bleak. He was feeling discouraged and his melancholy. When his waitress saw he was feeling low, she immediately suggested he go see Grimaldi. The circle and Grimaldi who could make anyone laugh. The waitress was certain that Grimaldi could cheer up her sad customer. Little did she know with whom she was speaking. The man looked at her and replied, "But ma'am, I am Grimaldi." This story illustrates what many of us are going through today. We put on a metaphorical, put on a smile, laugh, tell jokes, and oftentimes can be the life of the party. But deep down, when we take off that mask and take a moment to just be with ourselves and really consider how we are doing, the answer is different than you might expect. While I was laying in that hospital bed in Brookings, South Dakota, I thought about every time I look in the mirror, I hate who looks back at me. I thought about all the mistakes I had made in my life, and even if others had forgiven me, I couldn't forgive myself. I thought about how I wasn't worthy and didn't deserve all that I had. I started to list off all the things I hated about myself. It went on for what felt like forever. So I'll ask right now, all FFA members, how are you doing? How are you really doing? I have been wearing that mask for so long, always looking to make others happy, but never happy myself. The person who I portrayed myself as and the person who I really was were miles apart. I couldn't see the good in myself because I didn't know who I really was until I stopped and asked the hard question. When's the last time you slowed down to stop and ask how you were doing? If it's been a while, I encourage you to take some time and consider it and be honest with yourself, as hard as it might be. It can start today. If you're going through something, know that there are people in your corner. Someone cares about you. It could be your advisor who brought you here, a family member, a parent or guardian, a friend or someone you met this week. And if it isn't any of those for you, know that I care about every person in the stadium, everyone watching at home, and everyone I met this year. I'm always in your corner. I'm still working to love and see the good in myself, just as you may be, and I'm certainly no expert, but there are a couple things that have helped me in my journey. One, slow down and ask the question, how are you doing? Two, be honest with yourself. And three, let your people love you. Those closest to me have encouraged me, loved me, and supported me as I work to love and see the good in myself. I've come to realize that it's hard to love and appreciate the things and people in your life when you don't love yourself. It's hard to see the good in others and in the world, and it's hard to see the glass half full instead of half empty when you don't see the good in yourself. Alternatively, it's easy to hate situations and circumstances when you hold hate for yourself. It's easy to see the bad in others and in the world when all you see is the bad within yourself. I couldn't see it then, but I can see it now. We have a lot of work to do to get to a place where we can disagree respectfully, learn to compromise, and see the good in others and in ourselves. But maybe the change doesn't have to be so big. If we can be a little better every day, then maybe the world around us will be a little better every day. It all starts from within. If we can learn to love and appreciate who we are, then we can learn to love and appreciate others for who they are. I couldn't see it then, but I can see it now. Back from that hospital bed in Brookings, South Dakota, I can see all of you. I see all your gifts. I see your talents. I see you caring about each other, helping each other. I see you cheering on teammates and strangers alike here in Lucas Oil Stadium. Before me, I see a glass more than half full, one that is overflowing. I see the next generation of leaders who will change the world.